Chapter 6. Thursday. It was Thursday afternoon, and Midoriya was feeling pretty great about the way things were going in his life, which was a very clear indication that circumstances were about to change, and fast. He was hunkered down in the school library for study period, reviewing Pro-Hero Law with his All Might Special Edition earphones in and swinging his red sneakers like he was just asking for the world to come crashing in on him. Thursday had passed without a music room incident. Himawari's room still didn't have any classes in it. He checked 5 times just that hour, just to be sure, squinting as if the digital schedule would update just to spite him. And there were only 15 minutes left to go until the bell rang. He had even managed to survive the lengthy, aggressive cats as civilian hostages metaphor, complete with diagrams, Aizawa-sensei had put them through today, which seemed to involve more than the usual amount of glares in his direction. But there was no actual reason why their homeroom teacher would have the foggiest idea what was going on. All things considered, he couldn't possibly imagine what could go wrong until Uraraka teetered into view on the far end of the bookshelves, round face visibly pale. Midoriya looked up and immediately popped out his earphones. The way his classmates' wide brown eyes were pinned on the floor was not a good sign on any day. Worse still when they were embroiled in a ploy such as theirs. Uraraka-san, are you okay? He whispered as loudly softly as he could, standing and fretting at the tangle of his earphone wires. She froze, mid-step, and seemed to reconsider her decision to approach him, but squeezed her eyes shut and skittered the last few feet to his table. Her hands twisted at the hem of her shirt.
Deku-kun?
She murmured under her breath, still staring at the ground.
I sort of messed up, and I'm really, really sorry.
What kind of mess up? He asked carefully.
A super cute mess up,
she grit out, face red. It was their code for anything to do with Himawari, and Midoriya's heart jumped into his throat.
What happened?
Midoriya gulped, leaning in close and shooting a glance towards the librarian's desk, hands white on the tome of his history book. She told him. She had been in 227 after fifth hour, checking on Himawari and cleaning her tiny litter box. The boys had never done it before, so it had fallen to her, but not without the requisite amount of lecturing about needlessly gendered nonsense. When the door bust open and a group of rowdy, demanding third years took over the room for a study session, they even had a key. So as a split-second reaction, Uraraka gathered everything but the litter box up and ran out with the kitten and her food and her carrier underneath her jacket, levitating everything so it would all fit.
Oh no!
Midoriya Hush exclaimed, aghast, loud enough that the librarian hushed him viciously from across the sunlit room. He clapped a hand over his mouth and his mind flew. That was just before sixth hour, and the bell was about to ring.
Where is she now?
Uraraka shook her head, tucking a piece of her hair behind her ear.
I had acrobatics for sixth hour, so I was late already, and...
Where is she? Midoriya pressed, now acutely alarmed. Uraraka crossed her arms and looked sheepishly out the window.
I know we said we wouldn't go outside, the three of us, but I couldn't find Ida, and Kirishima had a free period, so...
Oh, no! Midoriya yelped, jumping up from his seat. The air shook. The telekinetic shockwave sent by the librarian rattled the kid's bones, and both instinctively death-dropped to the nearest chair, arms pinned straight to their sides, and heads down until they heard her tisk derisively, and go back to her romance novel. They carefully raised their heads, and though she was shaking, Uraraka shot him a look that said she was clearly a little disappointed in him and his exaggerated panic regarding Kirishima and the kitten. She took a bracing breath, brows furrowed.
Deku-kun, I know he's a little absent-minded, but...
No, Uraraka, don't you understand? Midoriya demanded, finally breaking and grabbing his coat and bag, spilling half its contents in the process.
He cut his losses and untangled his tie from the strap and shoved his limited edition All Might earphones in his pocket. It's only one step from Kirishima-kun to Kachan, and his absent-mindedness is the problem. Does Kirishima-kun actually have a free period today? Uraraka watched him scramble for his things with wide eyes, then abruptly ducked her head, pinching her nose. No, she breathed miserably. Oh no, he and Tsuchan are always talking about pottery class on Thursday afternoons. Midoriya fought not to hyperventilate as he scrambled out of the library, all kinds of awful images swirling in his nervous brain. He knew it. He just knew it. This was how it all went wrong. I just told him to get her back inside 227 as soon as it was clear. Uraraka called after him as the door closed, grabbing the table with both hands and visibly bracing for another punishing shockwave from the librarian. I'm sorry, Deku-kun. I hope everything is okay. Midoriya ran. He ran everywhere. Everywhere he possibly could that Himawari could be. He even ran up to the door of the arts room and jumped up high enough to look through the window to see Kirishima happily pushing mud around on a turnstile next to Tsu, completely unaware and completely kittenless. Damn him. Finally, winded, outraged, brimming with despair, Midoriya pushed through the door of 227. The room was completely empty. Except for Bakugo Katsuki, sitting on one of the desks and dangling a string. The door slammed behind him, insanely loud, and Bakugo glanced back. Midoriya's heart froze and cracked in his chest. Kachan didn't say anything. He wouldn't say anything. Midoriya was sure of it. So, having no other options, the timid young man took a deep breath to steel himself and ventured into the eerily quiet room. He stopped next to the desk his oldest friend occupied, then sat down on the one next to it. It creaked. You almost got Kirishima in a load of trouble, Kachan grumbled after a long time, staring down at the string in his hand and the little yellow kitten who was in one piece and currently chasing dust bunnies underneath a nearby desk. I'm sorry about that. It was never supposed to be this complicated. Midoriya said meekly, rubbing his neck. Bakugo sneered. You think too much and then too little. Always at the wrong times. Midoriya had to admit, Kachan wasn't all wrong. He was working on that, along with a lot of other stuff. Is Kirishima okay? He asked hesitantly, knitting his hands over his knee. When is that guy not okay? Kachan snorted. He had something to do, some art class or something, and just threw this cat at me and told me where it needed to be. What a screw-up. You don't throw cats at people. Midoriya spared a moment, praying that Kirishima hadn't actually thrown the cat. He tilted his head and tried to get a good look at her, but she was scampering around too much. She was as hyper as ever, at least. Still had four legs. All Might's secretary is picking her up in about 15 minutes, Midoriya offered a little hurriedly. He bit his lip. I can take her off your hands. Anytime. Right now, actually, if you want. But Bakugo kept trying to play with Himawari, smirking when the kitten tripped over his shoe, then shouting as she set upon the laces with her teeth and pink prick claws, tugging ferociously. Hey, you little shit, those are expensive, he growled. Midoriya ducked forward, fully prepared to swipe her out of the way of an explosion. But Bakugo was quicker, nipping her up by the back of the neck and glaring at her. She kicked out at him, mewling shrilly, outraged. Quit that, I'll give you something to chew on. Puh. She's just doing what cats do, Kachan, Midoriya whispered, heart pounding so hard it hurt. Kachan grunted, setting the little bag of fur back on the floor, a solid foot away from his shoes. Don't they like chasing string or something? I was doing it earlier and she ignored me. From the sound of it, he took being ignored by a cat really personally. Midoriya sighed inwardly. Kachan. I think it needs a little more bounce to catch her attention, Midoriya reasoned. Then reached for a string. Here, Bakugo jerked his hand back, and Midoriya froze completely. The two boys hung there for a moment, locked together but apart with years of silence snapping between their rigid bodies. And then Bakugo flicked the string towards him, but purposefully short of his grip, making a derisive sound. Deku scrambled down and picked it up off the floor with numb hands, sweating madly, and glanced around for something springy. He found a ruler and tied the string around it, giving it a test wobble. The string jounced and bounced due to the flexibility of the plastic, and Himawari looked over with her cornflower blue eyes shining. Standing, but not looking in the other boy's direction, holding his breath, Midoriya handed the makeshift toy back to Bakugo. He took the toy after giving it and Midoriya the requisite glare, like he'd beat one or both up if it didn't work. Lower lip protruding mulishly, he bounced the ruler, and Himawari jumped for it with relish, wrestling the string to the ground. Kachan laughed, short and sharp. Yeah, you get it. Go, kitty. He wriggled it harder, baring his teeth as the kitten went bananas, falling all over herself to maul the string. Kill it! Die! Deku laughed faintly at the display, his earlier nerves dissipating in a puff of nasty smoke. Now he was just exhausted. Now that Kachan's caustic attention was off him, his mind and body blanked out like he'd dodged a bullet. It was an unpleasantly familiar feeling, trained into him over years and years of pulled punches and actual punches. But he'd gotten strong enough to where it didn't wipe him out or lay him flat. Progress. It just needed a little something more. Together we made it work, Midoriya said mildly. Then his face fell. Bakugo's deep grimace was back. Himawari batted at the now motionless string, trying to will it back to life with muffled mewls. Deku bit his lip. He always did this. He said something he thought was nice and ruined whatever small truce they had. Loaded Kachan's gun again. He thought about what Uraraka had said earlier, about how maybe Kachan thought he was making fun of him, no matter what he said. But he wasn't. He didn't know how to tell Bakugo that he was just saying the truth. That he didn't have the time, energy, or inclination to talk down to him. Especially now that All for One sang in his bones and he had so much to do to make All Might proud of him. He wanted All Might to be proud of both of them, knowing how his oldest friend felt about the hero. Kachan was just amazing. Why would he speak that way to him? I think it's time for Himawari to go, Midoriya said quietly after an eternity of bitter silence, eyes on the floor. Bakugo tisked and tossed down the toy. It clattered loudly enough that the kitten jumped, spooked. Whatever. It was a job collecting the kitten into her carrier. On edge from the noise, she scrambled and hid under Bakugo's seat. And Deku swiped nervously around his classmate's legs, half fearing a kick, apologizing under his breath. Then, with Kat successfully interred in her squishy, safe turquoise carrier, Midoriya gathered his things and rushed towards the exit, praying nothing else would go wrong in the last 5 minutes of the day before he could meet All Might. Hey, Deku? A hand practically on the door, Midoriya stopped. He turned as carefully as he could, but Himawari still protested, scuffling in the carrier under his jacket. Bakugo was glaring at the dirty chalkboards, hands still in his pockets. Kirishima said he wanted some notes over that trigonometry lecture because he's fixing to fail. I don't take notes. And it took Midoriya a moment to realize where he was going with it. And you write everything down, whether you need it or not. So maybe something get through his thick skull if he looked at your chicken scratch. I'd be happy to share mine, Midoriya said in disbelief. Slowly, he smiled. Yeah, I'll give them to him after class tomorrow.
Whatever, that's all you guys,
Kachan muttered, almost too low to hear, turning away completely. Hey, Kachan?
Bakugo didn't look back, but Midoriya didn't expect him to. So he took a deep breath and said, carefully, honestly,
thanks for taking care of Himawari. You didn't have to, and I appreciate it.
Kachan kicked at a crumpled piece of paper, then the discarded cat toy ruler. He tisked again, shoulders hitching high, his trademark bad boy slouch, as meticulously curated as his grades. Midoriya could almost see the sneer, but for the first time he didn't feel it in his chest like a rotten gouge. I said whatever, it's not happening again, so get lost.
That was it then.
He said it, and Bakugo heard. Heart pounding, Midoriya gave a compulsive little bow and left the room, closing Bakugo in with whatever he was thinking. Then he ran down the hallway to his and All Might's meeting point with Himawari and her carrier under his arm, head rushing in disbelief. Like many things in his life lately, he was sure this cat was going to kill him, but it might just save him along the way.
It was a perfect plan. A rude one, but a perfect one.
Aizawa had to admit, he accosted Toshinori. He purposefully sat in the older man's not-so-designated chair at the computer lab, the only one big enough to support his inflated muscle form that wasn't also wrecked by Cementos, and may have possibly trashed the printouts he'd found on their shared desk earlier, surmising whose they were, in the hopes that he would come back to print more and fall into his trap. Toshinori had been strictly avoiding him since the music room incident yesterday morning, and that simply wouldn't do. Not when he had a cat to steal. Dirty though it was, it worked. About 4 in the afternoon, the towering hero strode in with a perplexed look on his face, then jolted to see his co-teacher coquettishly moored at his not-so-designated computer station. If Toshinori hadn't looked up any sooner, the man might have sat on him, and the thought amused Aizawa greatly. At first, he just raised a hand, and the two men went on about their very professional teacherly business. Aizawa pretending to click around in grading menus, and Toshinori awkwardly sat in Cementos's low-slung nightmare of a chair and tried to wrangle the computer to do his bidding. Soon the printer hummed and clicked, spitting out what looked like schematics for the training courses around the campus.
You want to come over again tonight?
Aizawa muttered, in as casual a tone as possible, barely looking up. They were alone. Alone was good, but he still wasn't going to be obvious about anything. God forbid Mike or Midnight were hanging around the corner sniffing out gossip.
We could knock out the planning for the mini obstacle course next week.
The pale yellow tangle of his hair barely peeking above the computer screen, Toshinori ducked his head, tapping his nose.
What an odd tick, Aizawa mused,
leaning back. It meant he was nervous and thinking.
I'm fairly busy tonight, my friend. I don't think I have the time to make the trip,
he said in a strained voice, rising and gathering his printouts one by one as they hit the tray, instead of just waiting for them to pile up on their own.
Aizawa smirked. Definitely nervous. Too bad, he sighed,
putting his feet up on the desk. He cocked his head to watch the older man between the computer screens, maybe searching for any sort of visual confirmation that an ass existed in those striped yellow tents he called pants.
I was hoping to get those done.
You don't need my help on something like that, I'm sure.
He chuckled faintly, shaking his head and sending his ratty bang swaying.
I think co-teaching has made you soft, Aizawa-kun.
Maybe, or maybe I could come over to your place instead.
A perfectly pointed pause.
Score. Unless you're not into that. It was a little mean to pull that kind of implication. Just a little. But it was equally gratifying to see how fast Toshinori responded. He froze and fairly shuddered with nerves. His foot started to tap. He ducked and pulled at one of his bangs, the other hand patting his printouts thus far against his long leg. It was excruciatingly obvious. Toshinori wanted, with a capital W, for him to come visit. Kitten fiasco or not. The thought brought a smirk to Aizawa's scruffy face, which he didn't have to hide because the ridiculous man was burying himself in his printouts and refusing to look at him. I guess you could come over, Toshinori eked out after a fair bit of internal struggle, sharp shoulders high. Only if you really, wanted to.
When?
Aizawa asked, his want to do so inherent in the clarification.
Not now, or after school, Toshinori blurted, arms straight at his sides.
Aizawa nearly rolled his eyes. Right. The idiot had to get Himawari home first and pretend she'd been there all day. He could nearly hear the hour abacus ticking in the older man's head.
Maybe around 7?
Gotcha. Before leaving the staff room, Toshinori gave him approximately half the directions, and then begged off, promised to text him the rest. All the while refusing to meet his eyes. Aizawa had no doubt that he would rush home to clean up, or maybe even consider calling for takeout, just to give them a distraction. Tidy up any clues as to what was going on at school. Any suspicious texts to Midoriya about the package, maybe. When he arrived at the apartment complex on the opposite side of campus than his own, just to put it all to rest as to what this was really about, Aizawa entered and beelined towards the cat, crouching and petting her where she lay sprawled on the couch. He barely stopped before burying his face in her pink and downy tummy, and only because she was too small for it. Yet. Behind him, All Might sighed in something like relief. Toshinori closed the door and locked it, and Aizawa quietly took stock of the humble, empty apartment and the lack of photographs or art. He wouldn't have pinned Toshinori for a minimalist, with the way he nervously hoarded notes and papers he apparently thought might come in handy a few months down the road. It was a little odd to see his home so bare. On a bookshelf, also empty, there were a few photographs that Aizawa marked as points of interest for any later investigative wanderings, provided he wasn't already occupied with getting the man's pants off, of course.
Would you, care for coffee?
Aizawa glanced up at the countertops in the bare, clean kitchen. There was a bowl of neglected-looking fruit, a dish strainer, a set of knives and a rice cooker, but no coffee maker. That did not bode well. Neither did a coffee.
Sure,
he said, as he sat back against the foot of the couch, maybe just to test him. As he feared, Toshinori padded towards the refrigerator.
I apologize if it's not what you're used to, but I don't drink coffee, so I just picked up what I saw at the market on my way home.
The towering hero returned with a can of sweet milk coffee, dwarfed in his big hand. The grocery store kind, with red labeling and about 2 millimeters of actual coffee per can.
Thanks,
Aizawa said pointedly, after a pause, accepting it, then turning it over to double-check the label. It was awful, sugary stuff. He had a sweet tooth, make no mistake, especially for quick energy. But coffee was one of those things he took pure with no exceptions. But this wasn't about coffee. It was about accepting his host's kindness and establishing some give and take between them. He cracked it, took a loud gulp of the thick, cloying drink, and tamped the instant shudder down to a twitch.
You hate it,
Toshinori said above him with a deep chuckle.
I'm surprised you even swallowed. Aizawa wanted to make a comment about swallowing, and his impressive track record on that, but shut his mouth. His very disgusting, powdered milk mouth. "Trying to be nice, I think," he said tiredly, pinching the bridge of his nose. He should have known he wouldn't have the energy to pull it off. Niceness was exhausting, especially when he hadn't slept for more than 3 hours over the last week, because reasons. Probably because Himawari wasn't there yet to help him sleep. He resented that, as well as the man still holding her hostage. "Now who is taking things they don't want? I didn't take you for a liar," Toshinori said with some reproach, shaking his head with a sunny smile. "I'll just get you a beer next time. Give it here. I'll drain it. You look sick from the smell." Aizawa, now free to grimace, swatted the can across the coffee table, which earned him a light laugh from Toshinori. The older hero took it to the sink, dutifully drained it, and then tossed it in the recycling bin. What a champ. Even thoughtful enough to fill him a glass of water while he was in there. "I'm not a good guest," Aizawa said, to no one in particular. Maybe to Himawari. She murped and rubbed against his arm on the couch, insisting that it wasn't all bad, and they would be together soon. He nosed into her and her short, ratty tummy fur gladly, happy she was on board. "You were a good guest if you're keeping Himawari busy," Toshinori assured him, putting the water glass in front of him and settling down with a stack of papers. "Now, forgive me. I know we said we would talk about setting up the obstacle course next week, but Principal Nezu gave me a deadline tomorrow rather unexpectedly. You're welcome to turn on the TV or put your feet up, but I don't know how long this will take." Aizawa shrugged and settled into his spot on the floor, leaning against the couch. He was really there to play with Himawari anyway, and his fellow teacher seemed to know it. So they settled into comfortable, sleepy silence, and Aizawa let Toshinori do his work. First, it was all bouncy cat toys and low-key glee, with Himawari ducking back and forth under the coffee table and over his legs to chase the furry lure. But sooner or later, Aizawa's eyes wandered. Beside him, 1 mile-long leg crossed over the other, Toshinori was looking through schematics of the fighting arenas, a serious look on his gaunt face. Aizawa glanced over every so often, at first trying to subtly catch the older hero's eye, then, after several failed come-hither looks, to follow the man's thought processes as he shuffled through and scribbled notes on each page. After a while, Aizawa found himself getting uncomfortable. It was a low-level anxiety that had been there for a week or two, ever since they decided on matchups for the final exam. And, of course, the opponents. "Are you sure you're good to do this?" Toshinori looked over, pen in his mouth. Aizawa reached up and wrapped the pile of schematics with a knuckle, and the older man nodded. "Ugh, you mean facing young Bakugo and young Midoriya in their final exams. Yes, I am perfectly fine to do it. It will be an honor for me to contribute to their training and education in such a way, and I'm glad Nezu approved my request. He seemed quite enthusiastic about it, actually." Aizawa blew some air through his nose, wondering at their rodent ruler's whims. If Nezu thought it was a good idea? "Bakugo, shit, that kid's a piece of work," he found himself saying aloud, remembering the particular outburst a few days ago that made him start thinking about pairing him and Midoriya up in the final exams. The explosive young man just kept getting more and more defensive, which was the most dangerous place to be for a hero of any age. He had to learn to get out of that space, or else he was going to get himself killed. "He's working through some things," Toshinori said, shaking his head absently. "We all were at that age." "What in the world does Midoriya have to do with it? There's such animosity there." Aizawa got it, of course, on some level. Midoriya was a shit magnet. Things just stuck to him, just happened to him. But Bakugo's anger seemed to go above and beyond the kind of trouble Midoriya generally caused. It was a deeply personal loathing that, if asked his personal opinion, he wasn't often. Aizawa would think Bakugo wouldn't have the time for in his quest to be number one. And yet? It's more complicated than we think. There is a deep bond there, fractured by something. Perhaps Bakugo is the fracture. Toshinori frowned pensively and shook his head, tapping his chin with his pen. I'm not certain. Young Midoriya hasn't... how would I know? What? Aizawa gave him a suspicious look. A very suspicious look. One day he would get it out of the man. But for the moment, the weird, not-my-favorite-student charade clunked along, and Toshinori rubbed his long neck and sighed, suddenly solemn. All I know is that Bakugo is hurting terribly, and Midoriya wants nothing more than to help him. Heal him. You can't heal someone. They have to want it. Participate in it. Aizawa said coldly. If nothing else, that he knew. Unfortunately, I think that Midoriya believes he will heal Bakugo or die trying. Toshinori said with a sad smile. Then raised his brows. Fortunately, I think he is the only one who could pull it off. Then he reached over and patted Aizawa's shoulder, not acknowledging the younger hero's serious, skeptical expression or the deep resentment therein. This is an unusual relationship, of the make-or-break sort. As teachers, we will intervene where necessary and take all precautions, but I think you're right in letting them fight it out. They have to be confronted with something bigger than Midoriya's desire to connect, and bigger than Bakugo's fear, and... Well? Toshinori gave a short chuckle. All Might is usually the biggest thing around, so it may work. They need a concentrated period of being forced to work with or against each other for a common goal, in order to break the silence and come to terms with what's actually holding them back. How that alters their relationship? Whether or not they take the lessons into themselves and use it to move forward together, only time will tell. And the hospital log, Aizawa said grimly, glaring at the drops of condensation on his water glass. As absent-minded as Toshinori seemed, he had a good train of thought going. Aizawa agreed with it, even if he was a bit skeptical of the mysterious nature of the boy's relationship itself. It shouldn't be on Midoriya's shoulders to heal another. Aizawa himself had learned long ago that never worked. Everyone was their own responsibility, and so far Midoriya had extended more than enough energy on connecting with a boy who refused all connection. Bakugo would have to get his shit together, or else. Fine, Aizawa said at length, snorting and going back to flicking the fluffy cat toy for Himawari, who had been ignored far too long and was just about to shred his sleeve in vengeance for the neglect. Just don't beat up my students too badly. They're my students, too, Toshinori protested, sitting forward, like he wanted to prove he was responsible and attentive, and, of course, ended up dropping half his papers. Aizawa watched lazily as the tall man bent double and gathered them. Toshinori wasn't able to resist giving Himawari a few scratches behind the ears in the process, and the sight made Aizawa feel a little warm in the chest. Confetti or something. And as much as I wish I could say I'll go easy on them, you won't, Aizawa said simply. He shouldn't. That wasn't the real world. Toshinori knew that, and he wanted the children to be able to survive and thrive there. Going easy on them at this stage would be crippling their development. Like he said, Toshinori had a good head on his shoulders, maybe even a little bit of wisdom from his time in the field. There was a lot to respect there. Or something. I won't, but what I'm saying is, likely more than half of that will be out of self-defense, All Might said with a mild chuckle, mussing up his flyaway hair with an overwhelmed effect. He flipped through the disorganized schematics as if looking for an answer or even an advantage that would help him in the coming weeks. These two, oh my, I might need that spa pamphlet after this.
You just get back in one piece, Aizawa said dully, meaning it.
Bakugo would be in rare form. The idea of sprawling third-degree burns on All Might's body, crunching in to fit on Toshinori's thin frame, it made him want to take the older hero to Recovery Girl already.
Thank you, Aizawa-kun.
He gave the other man a thumbs up, smile confident. If you think of anything I should focus on, please let me know. I can count on you to let me know how I can help the boys best.
Aizawa nodded and leaned back on the couch with one arm snug against All Might's warm leg, drifting in the wake of such an unexpectedly dense exchange. Kids and drama and stuff. It was tough shit. Somewhere inside, he was grumpy. He'd had some sort of naked fun on the mental schedule for tonight, but now he just felt strangely sleepy. Okay, not strangely. Just his natural state of sleepy. Maybe it was the delicious lure of another person's couch, where the nap potential hadn't been fully tapped yet, and always felt like stolen gold. Also, maybe, just maybe, there was something about Yagi Toshinori that made him able to shut off his mind and relax, and feel safe. Which, of course, made him need to get up and leave immediately.
I gotta go, he grunted, getting to his feet so fast he nearly pitched over the coffee table. Himawari mewled unhappily at the unrest, tiny tail flicking. Toshinori looked up and waved, no need for an explanation. They were adults. They left places unexpectedly. Right? Right. Suddenly buzzed, Aizawa gave one last bit of worship to their, his, golden mistress, and got to the door, and found he didn't even have a nagging bit of work talk to impart to Toshinori before he left, so he just raised his hand.
See you.
Sleep well, my friend, the older man said in dulcet, absent-minded tones, which made Aizawa pause just a second more before closing the door. Outside, Aizawa stopped and leaned against the wall, thoughts coming slowly. The plan for Head hadn't worked out, but he also hadn't expected to have that conversation. That really very insightful conversation about a two-student conundrum that had given him no end of trouble since the beginning of the semester, that his rational approach had thus far failed to resolve. All Might really cared about his students, one in particular, and the one a homeroom instructor would get to the bottom of that particular bit of favoritism and whispered hallway conversations. But Toshinori cared, he thought. A lot. And in a structured, intuitive way that produced insightful results that could be utilized to further their development as heroes and people. Aizawa wasn't expecting to be bowled over by such a simple fact, which made him think about all the likely petty things he'd been assuming about Toshinori and his capacity for teaching. But here he was, surprised, still terribly horny, but pleased. Now, if only Toshinori had thought half as hard about Himawari and the fact that she had a tiny UA phone charm head hanging from her collar, courtesy of one of the kids. Aizawa smirked, hitching his bag over his shoulder and starting home. Still a little stupid. But that was half the fun, wasn't it?